I'm going to be in Psalms 115. Psalm 115. I want to read the first three verses. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. John Newton said this, or at least wrote it. I'm sure he said it. How unspeakably wonderful to know that all our concerns are held in hands that bled for us. I like that. I like that. That is wonderful. Now, Psalms 115 starts this way. The Lord gives glory unto his name. Not unto you. Not unto you. He gives glory unto his name for his mercy and his truth. His truth. And I like the way the psalmist put it. Not unto us. Not unto us. Here's my point. Like that mention of give your heart to Jesus. You don't want God to talk about you. You want the Father to be looking at the Son, not at you. You want the Father to see the Son when he looks at you. Oh, I want to make this clear before I start. In my flesh and in your flesh dwells no good thing. And that includes your own rotten heart. Now, but I also have to point out this. And by his grace and by his truth, we know someone. And we know some things. Some things. So, today, my title is Three Questions About God. That's my title. Three questions about God. I'm going to ask them, and by God's grace, in his word, from Psalms 115, I'm going to answer them. Question one, where is your God? Where is your God? Now, my first point about this question is pay very close attention to who's asking this question. What does it say? Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? This is the question of the heathen. You understand? A believer should never have to ask this question. A believer should never ask this question. And I don't know that I've ever heard one ask this question. What's my point here? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The heathen are mean. They're mean. This is actually meant as an insult. That's the way it was said. This is said as an accusation. It wasn't, oh, where's your God? No, it was, where's your God? Where's your God? I know where mine is. He's going to tell us a little later. I know where mine is. This is said as an insult. The Jews don't have a God. You know why? Because we can't see him. We can't see him. What this really is, though, this really is a confession of who the heathen really are. The heathen are those who do not know the Lord. The Lord. That's the definition. And I'm going to tell you right now, I thought about going into this, and I thought I might as well. This is just as true today as it is in Old Testament times. Just as true today. Because I'm going to tell you something. believers today are surrounded by the heathen.
Yeah.
And we'll be mean here, myself. Even though those heathen may use the name of Christ, they call themselves Christian or other things. Believers are surrounded by the heathen. I'm not just talking about idols that are still around today. Buddha. What is it? Brahma, Shiva, and that elephant head guy, Ganesha, the Hindus. But this also includes crosses, crucifixes, rosaries, paintings, statues. Those statues used to be called graven images. Oh my. Cradles, manger scenes, even what Walter likes to call plastic Jesus or concrete Jesus in your yard. Even just a plain wooden cross worn around your neck or a little silver cross. Those are no better. Those are no better than the images of Dagon or Baal.
Right.
There's no difference. I'm going to tell you something. People don't understand it. People won't like it. I understand that. But here's the question. Well, no, sorry. First, before that, here's the statement. I have seen them bow and kneel before those statues. I grew up around that stuff. I grew up around it. I've seen them kiss the feet of them, of a statue on television. You know, they may ask you, where is your God? Where is your God? Well, I can tell you, he's not on your shelf. That's right. He's not on your wall. He's not in your little alcove, and he's not in your prayer garden. And, you want to get real mean? He's not around your neck. You understand? I've seen baseball players, like Henry talked about that years ago. They take that cross out, they kiss it, they put it under there, and then they point upstairs. You understand? They touch, they handle these things like a lucky charm.
Right. Right.
And that's the way they feel about it. But oh, I'm going to tell you something. Our God's not on your shelf. Our God's not around your neck. Our God is in the heavens. Oh my. He is in the heavens. Because here's the thing. The God of the Bible is on his throne.
Amen.
He's on his throne. Excuse me. He's on his throne. And I'm going to tell you something. He's high and he's lifted up. Oh, I like that. You understand, some may set a great store about the Ten Commandments, but there's one of those commandments they have a tendency to ignore. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not make any graven image of anything.
Right.
Of anything. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. The reason they ask this question is the heathen don't know where God is. They do not know where he is. He's in the heavens. Matter of fact, David said he's in the deeps. He's in the sea. He's everywhere, but he's in the heavens. Well, wait a minute, excuse me. And he's in the heavens, not but. And. But here's the other part. The Lord is in every one of his people. He is. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. This is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Prove to your own selves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The heathen don't know where he is. The heathen don't know. God's people do not need and should not want statues or necklaces or even a big wooden cross around your neck or anywhere else. Earl used to say it's like carrying around a little replica of an electric chair. That's what it was. The crucifix. He's not there anymore, folks.
He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's not on a cross anymore. And I thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. But he's not there. That's not who I worship. That's not who I'm looking to. I'm looking to the one on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm looking to the one who's seated and waiting, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. God's people have his Holy Spirit within them, and they know he's on the right hand of Father. Now, is that clear? Well, wait a minute. Not to the heathen. Not to the heathen. But it is clear to God's people. You understand? He's not in a manger. This is that time of year. He's not in a manger. Yes, he did come into this world. And thank God for it, because it meant our salvation was come. Amen. You know? That fellow that held him, Simeon, who was there to be circumcised, said, Lord, thank you. I have seen your salvation. He was holding, an 8-day-old infant or whatever? He was holding a young... He didn't see that. He saw the salvation of God's people right there. Oh my. And that's what the heathen don't see. Second question. Now these two questions are pretty easy, because you expect them. What is God doing? What is your God doing? Now this is a question, to be honest, right now, not many people are asking. And there's a reason for that. Most people have no idea what God is doing. And the sad part is, most people don't care. Most people don't care. This is not a question that bothers most people, even religious people. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think they believe they know the answer, even though they may be wrong. Let me be honest with you, people. Let me be honest with you. I can tell you what bothers most people who do have a question about what God does. Who do have a question about it. It's not a deep, dark secret, but most people don't really understand what they're doing. Because most people are not concerned with what God is doing. They are more interested in what God is not doing. Why isn't God doing what I want? That's what concerns them. That's what concerns them. Why is not God not doing what I want him to do? That's what men want, heathen included. I want more money. I want more success. I want more stuff. I want more stuff. I'll go this way. I want this person saved or that person saved, and I want them saved now. You understand? Waiting on the Lord is not something people do. They're more concerned with what God's not doing than what he is doing. And the psalmist tells us here what God is doing. He is doing whatever he pleases to do.
Amen. That's right.
You understand? It's not up to the heathen, or it's not even up to us as believers to tell God what to do. God does as he pleases. He hath done whatsoever he has pleased. Psalm 135 puts it this way. Verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. That's what it says. Whatever he does, Walter preached it last week. Whatever he does that pleases him is what? Good. It's good. And not only that, it is good for those who love him. All things work together for good to them that love God. And I wrote me down a note here, Walter, that thing I sent you. John Newton put it this way. Everything is needful that he sends.
Amen.
Right? Everything is needful that he sends. And nothing
is needful that he withholds. Now, ain't that good? If you know God, that won't bother you.
Right.
Matter of fact, if you know God, you'll like that. You might have some joy in that. You understand? I don't understand everything that's going on. And thank God for that sometimes. I don't want to understand everything that's going on, but I know God does. And it's for my good, and it's His glory. Every single bit of it. He's done it. What I just read it. In all what? In heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. That's pretty much everywhere. You understand? That's pretty much everywhere. What does it say before that? Verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. That did he. That's what he's doing. Here it is. If you don't love God, you don't know where he is and you don't know what he's doing.
Amen.
And that's just the truth of the matter. Matter of fact, that's another definition of the heathen. You don't know where God is and you don't know what he's doing. Oh. But now the third question. I'm not going to keep you too long. The third question. Who is God? Who is God? That's the last question of the day for me. Now, you might think this is an easy question. And for some, it is. For others, not so much. Not so much. Matter of fact, Earl told the story of a fellow at an ordination, his own ordination.
Yeah.
I'll tell this for the people streaming, maybe not heard this, or this gets out on the TV. This fellow was there to be ordained as a preacher. And the fellow that Earl was with Earl asked him a question. Who is Jesus Christ? And it stumped the guy. And he looked at the fellow that asked the question and said, I don't know what you mean. And this is a man who's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't answer that question? Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Earl did say that he did not vote for ordination of that fellow. And I believe him. You understand, who is God? I can tell you this. The heathen don't know. They think they know. They'll tell you they know. But the heathen do not know. But the psalmists tell us. Look in verse 9 of Psalms 115. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now here, verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, I like that. Here's who God is. He is the help and the shield of his people. Of his people. Now the next part is key. Whose help and whose shield? Because let's be clear. The Lord is not everyone's help.
Right.
He is not everyone's shield.
Right.
He laid it out here specifically. Oh my. What's he say? O Israel. O Israel. Now you can take that as the Jews, or you can take that as the congregation of Israel, or you can take that as the prince with God, Israel, who used to be named Jacob. O Israel. And then it says, what? O house of Aaron. That's the priest. That's the priest. Oh, I like that. I do. But then this third one hit me. I'm going to tell you something. What? Ye that fear the Lord. Folks, that can include us. Matter of fact, it does include us. Ye that fear the Lord, the house of Aaron and Israel, the Lord is their help and the Lord is their shield. How so?
Look at verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us.
I like that. I like that.
You understand? Israel and the house of Aaron and they that fear the Lord. Guess what? That's us. That's one people. That's us. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And what is it, verse 13? He will bless them that fear the Lord, both. And I love this part. Small and great. You understand? Because I can fit in there. I can fit in there. Fear the Lord and I'm small. Small and great. Oh, I like that. That's all of us. That's all of His people. All of those with a circumcised heart in the spirit and not in the flesh. All of those who He has given, what? A circumcised heart and circumcised ears to hear His truth. Oh, all of those He's given eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. Oh, I like that. Circumcised and small and great. Small and great. Here's the thing. Abraham and Moses and you. And you. I like that, I do. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and you. Isaiah and you believe the same Lord. Isn't that great? Small and great. I like that. Moses, David, Daniel, Ruth, and Walter love the same Lord. Know the same Lord. Oh, I like that. And yes, I am speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Christ say? He said, Moses wrote of me. And you know what he meant? He meant that Moses wrote of me. That's exactly what he meant. And he also said, Abraham saw my day. Well, not only that, he was glad. He was glad. Oh, I like that. John 10 and verse 30 says this, I and my Father are one. Are one. And you know, the wonderful thing about that, John 10 and verse 30, because here's the thing, when did Christ say this? Right after he told some people they weren't his sheep. That's what he did. He told some that they didn't believe because they were not of my sheep. That's in John 10 and verse 26. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Amen. Oh, I like that. And I give them unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Oh my. Talk about help and a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they shall never perish. What? Here's a shield. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you want a double shield? Look at the next verse. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is great. They took up stones to stone him. Why? Because he told the absolute, unvarnished truth. 1 John 5 and 7 says, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Jesus told us himself that many were going to come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Oh, we believers. Believers from every age, Old Testament and New, shall sit in the kingdom at the table of the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Oh, I like that. And what's that mean? That means Jew and Gentile. Bond and free, old and young, male and female, small and great. Small and great. I like that. I do. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He is their help, and he is their shield. And he has promised, and it shall come to pass. Oh, I like that. In conclusion, check out, I purposely didn't read it. Psalms 135, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth and all the seas and all the deep places. You know what he said right before that in verse 4? For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. You people always have to bring election into stuff, don't you? God's the one making the choice, not me, folks. He's the one who wrote the book. I'm just reading it and believing it. And the heathen won't believe it. Not even when they read it. They'll try to explain it away. You understand? For whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth and the seas and all the deep places. He chose Jacob and Israel. In one place it tells you this. I made Jacob and formed Israel. You understand? The usurper and the prince with God are the same person. They're the same person. And I'm going to tell you something. That's us, folks. That's us. Oh, I like that. God's people are both sinner and saint. We have an old man and we have a new man. That's why he don't want your old heart. He's going to give you a new one. You need a new heart. Your old heart cannot be refabricated. No, we need a new heart. And he gives us one. God's people are both sinner and saint. And what's it say? For the Lord hath chosen Jacob and Israel. Oh, I like that. I do. What did John Newton say? How unspeakably wonderful is it to know all our concerns are held in hands that bled for us. He shed his blood for his people. He's going to have his people with him, together with him in glory. He's promised. He chose us because he loved us. In his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, he chose his people because it pleased him. It pleased him. He chose us in his good pleasure, in his good Son. Oh, I like this. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And we, by his grace, by his truth, given to us, know him. We know where he is, we know what he's doing, and we know who he is. Actually, it's because we know who he is. He's the one with whom we have to do. The Father gave him power over all flesh. That's what it says in John 17. For what purpose? For what purpose did God the Father give God the Son power over all flesh? It says this. That he should give eternal life to as many as the Father gave to him. In his good pleasure. In his good pleasure. Oh, I like that. So the question is, where's your God? Where's your God? What is your God doing? Huh? Who is your God? I understand you can have that little cross around your neck and even be a little crucifix with a little Jesus on it, and you can kiss it all you want.
It ain't going to help you a bit. It's not your help, and that's not your shield. It doesn't work that way. I was thinking about this on the way up here. What's it say? I didn't go into this. I wasn't going to do it. But the idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Men's hands. That's verse 4 of Psalm 115, right? What's it say? They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat.
Now, how many times have you ever heard a preacher get up and say, God's got no hands but your hands? That's a lie. Well, maybe his God, but it's not my God. God's got no feet but your feet. God's got no mouth but your mouth. That's a lie. Our God is in the heavens. He has done, is doing, and shall do whatsoever he hath pleased. And if you don't know that, you don't know God. And that's just the truth of the matter. So where is your God? Who is your God? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, so much for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. He is Lord, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not. He is God, manifest in the flesh, seated in the heavens. And he is expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And he is calling out his sheep by name. And they hear his voice and they follow him, and he gives us eternal life. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Be with Walter as he preaches. Be with Paul where he's at. Be with all of God's ministers to preach your truth. And have it be received by your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.